And now, welcome to Main Street Book Club with Charles Montgomery, professor in the English Interpretation and Translation Department at Dongguk University and the founder of the Korean Literature and Translation website, ktlit.com. Morning, Charles.
Good morning. And it is a lovely morning.
Oh, yeah, it is. Finally. So what's new?
Well, a couple of sort of catch-up things. As you recall, some time back we did a piece on North Korean literature mm-hmm. from South Korean perspective, and on the website I got some feedback from a commenter who actually found some North Korean literature online. So, if there anyone who is interested in that can go to the KT Lit site and look for that. He found one particular story from Literature Without Borders, mm-hmm. and it was interesting to read. If you're interested, it's well written. But as we talked about a little bit in that section, it's very, very overtly ideological. So if you're not into that stuff, don't go. But if you want to take a short look at what North Korean literature looks like, there are some links there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing I'd mention, because it will happen before the next show, is next Monday is World Book and Copyright Day, which is also known as the International Day of the Book or World Book Days. And this is an annual event organized by UNESCO to promote reading, publishing, and copyright. It was first celebrated in 1995, and since then, UK World Book Day has been added. I looked online. I didn't see a specifically Korean World Book Day, but given that it is World Book and Copyright Day, I think everyone should go out on next Monday and purchase a book of their choice.
Well, you don't even have to go out if you've got one of these e-readers, right?
I hope my wife isn't listening. She may have one for her birthday.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to talk about poetry, which is odd because I'm not that great of a fan of translated poetry in general, but there are at least two poets, one of whom I've met, who I would really recommend to someone who is looking at beginning in Korean poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the next 2 weeks, because they're sort of larger than life and important figures, we'll be talking about two very different poetries, Kim Hye-sun and Ko Eun.
And why aren't you a fan of translated poetry?
Because it's really, really hard to do. It's not often done well. It's so difficult, such meaning compressed into such a small space. On one side, you have the words and the meaning, and on the other side, you have flow and rhyme. And then there's all kinds of things specific to the language, the specific languages, alliteration, repetition, assonance, dissonance.
Mm.
And that's not even getting into the fact that poems are stuffed with metaphors and allusions, which are generally culture-specific and are very, very difficult to get into a target language. And when you try to pack all this stuff into the relatively short lines and short bursts of text, it's really, really – I've worked on some of this. It's really, really hard to get the meaning through, much harder than in novels, for instance, in which you have some space and time and many words to play with.
Yeah. I think it's harder to write poems even in your native language.
Yeah, it is. Well, there's just a whole lot more conventions to it. I mean – and one of the poems that we'll talk – one of the poets we'll talk about today, Kim Hye-sun, in some ways broke some conventions. But really, it's true in general in the world that there are some conventions that need to be followed. And Korea is a little bit even stricter than that, probably.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing that I personally am vastly in favor of, coming from California, where the output of terrible poetry could sink Hawaii. But, so Kim Hye-sun and Ko Eun are who we're going to talk about over the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about them first.
Well, they really couldn't be more different. This is one of the interesting things about them is Kim is female, Ko is male, Ko is economical. Kim writes in just outpourings of words,
mm-hmm.
landslides of words. Kim is avant-garde, Ko is colloquial. Kim is physical, visceral, grotesque, often savage, and Ko's work is usually restrained. And Kim is also, to finish it up, Kim is a feminist while Ko is a Buddhist. So quite different.
But there must be something important about these differences, right?
Well, I think the main difference, the first difference is that is the male-female difference. I think that really affects the experience of someone growing up in Korea, and it absolutely affects the experience of a poet. And I think one of the clearest way to point this out to people who may not know is that in South Korea, there are two kinds of poets. There are poets, Shi-in, but Shi-in are solely male. So when you just use the word poet, you are not, in terms of literary convention, talking about female poets. Women poets are given a separate category, Yoryu-shin.
Yoryu-shin,
which means female poet.
So you can't call a female shin.
Well, you don't. I mean, I'm not sure that you can't. But this points to a kind of the fact that female poetry has been seen as outside the canon, and Kim Hye-sun believes that this gendered split actually diminishes women and sort of forces them to write feminine poetry, to sort of write pretty flowery things, passive things. And in Guernica magazine, she's interviewed, and this link, all the links I'm going to talk about today, as usual, are up on KTLIT .com if you go look for that, that there were basically three roles in Korean society, particularly when Kim Hye-sun was growing up. A lot of the stuff that I talk about with poetry and literature is changing now because Korea is changing so rapidly. Mm-hmm. But there were young unmarried women, middle-aged women, the famous ajumma, and halmoni, grandmothers. Oh.
That's according to Kim, yeah?
Yeah, this is according to Kim. Mm. And basically, if you go outside of those lines, you're called a chungyo, which is sort of equivalent to prostitute. That's a harsh harsh thing to say.
Generalization.
Yeah, but it really is at the heart of Kim's work. Kim says, quote, "Women are foils to men. It is hard for women to take a lead role, even in NGOs for political resistance. Men think women should do trivial things on the margin. They think women should be merely a seasoning for a dish," end quote. So you can see where she comes from.
And she resents this.
Yeah, she thinks it's absolutely wrong. And I should say that she was an absolutely groundbreaking poet in this. She was. I think it's fair to call her the first 100% truly feminist Korean poet. And if you go into the Korean literature, you find that this, of course, split the critics. Even today, I'd say she's 60% loved and 40% something that's not love.
So tell us about her poetry.
Well, I told you that her poetry is I'll read something, that her poetry is very visceral, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. Here's a sample of the poem Manhole Unhumanity from her book All the Garbage of the World Unite. And I'm not a great poetry reader, but here we go. "At one point, a rumor spread that if you can digest all the rats living in the hole, you could reach nirvana and wouldn't ever have to be born again. An afternoon of a woman already pregnant with the next, like, walking, waddling by. Packs of rats are bartering me in my hole. I hear a chorus of rapid breathing. Do you know that as you walk into the blacklight, you are a hole floating in air? I, who walk with you, are another hole. The inside of your hole is infinite."
Oh.
And that's the end of that clip. And that is among her most mannered poetry.
And manhole refers to, I guess, masculinity.
It has all kinds of meanings if you read this book. This is, as I said, it's from the All the Garbage of the World Unite. So the manhole, you know, it's got the man in there. Yeah, you see that. It's got the hole in there. You can see the symbolic importance of that probably to a woman. And the rest of the poem actually does talk a lot about sex life. The whole, the entire book does. So this is the kind of thing that she's about.
Okay. A little more background on Kim Hye-sun, since we're going to focus on her and her work this week.
Quickly. She is a PhD in Korean literature, and she began as a poet in 1979. She lives in Seoul, and she teaches creative writing at the Seoul Institute of Arts. And she has won a variety of prizes, the Kim Soo-young Literature Award, the Suwol Poetry Literature Award. Just basically, she's got all the major poetry awards, and she presents all over the place. She presents internationally.
The translated versions? Or
the translated versions and sometimes the in Korean versions. I've seen video clips on YouTube of both.
So how much poetry has she written?
A lot. She has five or six, maybe seven collections in Korean. And some of them are, the latest one being Sorrow Toothpaste Mirror Cream.
And they've all been translated?
Not all of them. Some of them have been translated. Mommy Must Be a Fountain of Feathers, Anxiety of Words, All the Garbage of the World Unite, When the Plug Gets Unplugged, and Princess Abandoned have been translated. The best one to start with out of that group is probably All the Garbage of the World Unite. It was printed by a relatively reputable publisher, so it can be found easily on Amazon, and it has a good collection of her works, a good representative of collection of her works.
Let me ask you why you like her work.
Well, she, I like her work for reasons that normally make me not like poets, so it's kind of unusual. She has a facility at combining poetic images with experimental language, and but not too much. You can still track through it. It doesn't ever turn into what I would call nonsense. And again, I'm sort of reflecting my youthful upbringing in 1960s, 1970s California, Berkeley, Palo Alto. And her language is one of the things I like, unusual to some extent for Korean translated poetry, is her language is violent and hops around. Her topics center on death and injustice. Part of this comes from her feminist stance, and part of it, another part of it, she would say, just comes from being a woman. Many times her poetry is marked by the color of blood. She's fond of using rats, garbage, internal organs. She likes messy ideas and messy phrases.
Do you have another example of that?
I do. Again, from All the Garbage in the World Unite. This is Red Scissors Woman.
It's called Red Scissors Woman.
Red Scissors Woman, mm-hmm. Yeah. That woman who walks out of the gynecology clinic, next to her is an old woman holding a newborn. The woman's legs are like scissors. She walks swift, swift, cutting the snow path. But the swollen scissor blades are like fat, dark clouds. What did she cut? Screaming with her raised blades, blood-scented dusk flooding out between her legs. The sky keeps tearing the morning after the snowstorm. A blinding flash of light follows the waddling, waddling woman. Heaven's lid glimmers and opens, then closes. How scared must have been when the woman who ate all the fruits of the tree he'd planted was cutting out each red body from between her legs. And you can see, the poem goes on.
That's vivid.
Yeah, extremely graphic. Vivid. Yeah, this is really, really, really what she's known for, that vividness. And so if this is the kind of, and next week we'll talk about Ko Un, who is a much more restrained poet, much more in the tradition of sort of Confucian and Buddhist restraint. But if you like a different kind of poetry, if you like the other kind of poetry, Kim Hye-soon is a great poet for you. And particularly if you are, she's avant-garde. If you like the avant-garde feminist poetry, she's that.
Who's the translator of her poems?
Well, this is an interesting story. The translator of her poem is Choi Don-mi. And Choi Don-mi, there's, if you go to KoreaNet, and you can find this on KT Lit, there's a long quote by Kim about Che. Mm-hmm. But Che is also a poet.
Oh.
Che lives in the United States. Che lives, I believe, in Washington, state of Washington. And Che actually contacted Kim Hye-soon and said, I would like to translate your work.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And if you look at their poetry is very, very similar. So I think it's actually a kind of effective fit between mm-hmm. the two of them. Mm-hmm. And the what it does to find a translator who already has your own voice is it takes out that issue of, are they saying the kinds of things I say, or are they saying the kinds of things they say? In this case, the kinds of things Kim Hye-soon says are also the kinds of things that Che says. And Kim Hye-soon says she trusts Che implicitly.
Presumably, though, Kim Hye-soon's English is not good enough to write poetry in English or to actually get the full meaning of translated poetry. Why does she trust Choi Don-mi in that way?
Because the fact that Che is also a poet. And I would also say, I think Kim Hye-soon is a little tricky about her English. I have met her, and she brought her daughter, who's an artist. Her daughter actually did the cover art for All the Garbage of the World Unite, EP is her name. And it was funny. I brought the KT Lit intern who's Kyopo, speaks both Korean and English very well. And when I talked to Kim Hye-soon, that did not need to be translated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So only very rarely did things need to be translated. So I think she actually understands more English than maybe she lets on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this helps her. I think when she read Che's poetry, she went, this voice is the proper voice.
So where can listeners go to find out more about Kim Hye-soon?
www.ktlit.com. I have a link to everything we've talked about and more, including about 15 of her poems, which are currently online.
Mm-hmm. 15 of the poems that you like.
Yes.
Next week, we're going to talk about Ko Un, who is, of course, one of, I think, the only Korean literary figure who gets mentioned for the Nobel Prize.
We'll talk about that. He is Korea's great Nobel Prize hope.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about that next week. In the meantime, thank you very much, Charles.
My pleasure.
See you again next week.
Yep.
Charles Montgomery from Dongguk University and KTLIT.com with Main Street Book Club, introducing us to the Korean poet Kim Hye-soon this week. And we're going to wrap this segment with Thalian, Life is Poetry. We'll be back with part two after this.